Hello and welcome to Tapped. I'm your host, Julie Donofrio, and today my guest is Julie Donofrio. That's right, I am speaking to my good friend who also happens to be named Julie. I'm not going to be spending the next half hour talking to myself, although that would not be unheard of. But Julie, welcome.
Thank you, Julie Donofrio. This Julie Donofrio is very happy to be joining you today.
I love this. it is a little weird.
It is. I promise. There's two of us and no one's here talking to themselves.
Yeah, it's double trouble.
This is us.
And we actually met because of our same name.
We did.
It's crazy. You know, I've only in my life encountered, I've never met another Julie Donofrio. But when I was living in D.C., my car would always, it was an old car, constantly needed to be fixed. So I'd go to the local mechanic. And one day he pulls up my account and asks, well, which one are you? I said, what do you mean? There's only one Julie Donofrio, right? The gall. And he said, which address? And lo and behold, there was another Julie just blocks away. And my first instinct was cool. My second was, oh no, identity theft.
Well, Julie, it seems like not only do we have the same name, we used to have the same car. Because I, too, would go to my mechanic frequently when I was back in my driving days before I moved to Manhattan. I have a cousin named Julie Donofrio. And I also was working at a public library in Rochester, New York, when one day a girl came in and I, you know, went to check out her books. And when I scanned her card, I saw my name come up on the screen. And I said, I'm sorry, I must have checked something out to myself and not, you know, gone to the next person. And I scanned it again and I said, is your name Julie Donofrio? And she said, yeah. And I said, that's my name. And I had to go and get my driver's license and show it to her and her mom. And we just had, you know, the best time. So apparently it's not that uncommon of a name as we might have thought.
Right. And thankfully there's at least a few other people who know how to pronounce it.
True. We do.
But it turns out, so you reached out, which I just thought was the coolest thing. Tell folks how we found each other.
Okay, I'm a comedian, and I was going to have a website, and I was shocked to find that juliedonofrio.com was not available. And I went on your website, and I realized that there had been people, because I'm a performer, and we're kind of, you know, there's people out there that follow us separately. Someone had asked me if I was Julie Donofrio, the journalist. I was a journalism major in college, in my undergrad, so I wasn't sure, and I did a little bit, but nothing to the extent of what you had. But I realized they weren't talking about me. So I was on your website and seeing all your adventures and all the cool things you've done and places that you visited, and I could not resist emailing you, and from my email that said Julie Donofrio and writing in the subject, this is not spam. I am Julie Donofrio. And that's how we met.
I love that because I, too, people have reached out and said, hey, were you on Last Comic Standing? And I said, no, but gosh, I wish I had been. And how cool that you had once. You tried out for the show?
I did. I've auditioned twice. I never made it past the first round, but I did make it onto the air one time and they showed me at the beginning. But yeah, we were both like, I've read about you and your adventures. And people think they get us mixed up.
Yeah, which was very cool. And I do apologize for being so greedy with the website. I did work in journalism. I'm still a journalist, but I had been at ABC News for a very long time. And although my given name is Julianne, all one word. Most people knew me as Julie. I just had always been a Julie growing up. It was just easier to write on all the grade school papers. And, you know, I grew up in California, so Donofrio was already exotic. So,
well, it's bad enough to have to write the long last name, so I understand shortening the first name.
Exactly. Eight letters in every name. It's a lot. And I think it was just of our generation, too. We're of the same Gen X, and I think it was a semi-popular name. There were more Jennifers,
yes.
I think. But I remember growing up with the Love Boat with Julie, your friendly cruise director.
Mm-hmm. So, and, of course, Julie Andrews was popular, Julie London, and you know, back, you know, maybe when we were born, there was me, or possibly, I personally was named after Julie London, my mom's.
Really? So. Oh, that's so cool. And I was I happen to be named after my grandmother, was Julia. So when I went out on my own and I figured, well, if people are going to be looking me up, they might just automatically go to Julia D'Onofrio. So I grabbed both websites because I was thinking ahead. But I'm so glad that it actually brought you into my life. And now we're on Facebook. And honestly, friends have said, have you been hacked? Do you have a second account?
And I don't know about you, but I just think it's so much fun to tell people I'm going to meet my friend, Julie D'Onofrio.
I love it.
Because all my friends had a friend named Julie D'Onofrio, so why shouldn't I, right?
Exactly.
Do you feel that way?
I feel exactly the same, and I'm so glad that we are.
Me too.
But what yes, that brought you into my life, but we also have a lot of things in common. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that you're doing that I just think are so cool. We both happen to be from New York.
Right.
I was born on Long Island. You were born upstate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've dabbled in improv. You know, when I left journalism, which is very much by the book, by the facts, I wanted a way to think outside the box. So I took two improv classes in Washington, D.C., and I want to just take a chance to shout out to the folks in D.C. because I think a lot of people, they only think that improv is for folks that you got to go to New York or Chicago or L.A., but there are some wonderful things going on in your home city. So bloom where you grow. I encourage people to go and check out what's happening around them because I think they'd be really surprised. And D.C. is really blooming, I would say, in the improv world. But I got a taste for it. I appreciate it. I don't do it regularly, but you do. You are a stand-up comedian, as you mentioned, and you also work in improv. So tell me what that's like. Like, how did you say, I'm going to do this? I'm going to go on stage.
Well, I've always been the person that everyone says, you should be a comedian. And I kind of, you know, laughed it off. But one day, I found out a girl I had gone to high school with was doing stand-up at our local comedy club. And I remember thinking, you know, if she can do that, I don't see any reason that I can't do it. And I had always been told, you know, that I have a sense of comedic timing. So I took a class at our local comedy club. And then I got on stage for the first time. And I call it my Sally Field moment. Our younger listeners might not know what I mean, but...
Is that punchline?
No, it was... I was up there and people were laughing and I remember thinking, wow, they like me. They really like me, like a Sally Field moment. They thought I was funny. And it was just such a rush for me to be on stage and so much fun that honestly, I never looked back. But my real ambition was that I wanted to be Irma Bombeck when I grew up. I wanted to do comedy writing. And I was told that I should do stand-up at least once, even if I didn't like it and even if I was horrible at it, to get a sense of the comedic timing. So that's how I got started.
Irma Bombeck. I haven't heard that name, but I loved reading her growing up. She was, you know, a housewife, I guess, to begin with. Mm-hmm. At least that's the persona she
right.
took on in her writings. But that's wonderful. So do you write? Are you?
I do. I'm actually, I'm working on a book, and I'm going to be relaunching my blog pretty soon, hopefully later this month. But yeah, I was this girl that would come, I was like this 10-year-old girl that would come home and want to read the paper and see if Irma Bombeck was in it. Well, my friends wanted to be ballerinas or, you know, nurses or something more mainstream. But now improv, that's a completely different art form from stand-up. And I love it. I just sort of fell into it from doing stand-up and knowing other comedians in Rochester. And now my favorite thing to do, honestly, is teach kids and teenagers improv and get them on stage. That's really my passion these days.
So I love that. And I would love to know how you sort of started doing that, because I think what really draws me to improv is the basic concept of yes and.
Mm-hmm.
So when your scene partner starts with a suggestion, and they start leading your scene somewhere, like, we're going to the beach. And then you as their scene partner would be like, yes, and I'm going to pack a picnic basket. And it just grows and you heighten the comedy. And that concept, I think, really does translate into life. If you just open yourself up and say, yes, and what else am I going to bring to the table? And so I think it's so great that you're that you're bringing that to kids, because whether or not they pursue something in the arts, the concept in their lives of yes and so how did you get started with that?
Well, I actually fell into it by accident. I was in a troupe in Rochester years ago called Some Assembly Required, and we were looking for work, and we ended up going doing some work for the Cub Scouts. And we did some you know, fundraising work, and we did some other work with children's organizations, and we were asked to come into a school and do some school assemblies. We ended up working with Young Audiences of Rochester, and they wanted us to do sort of a teaching workshop educational thing, and that became, they changed it into doing a performance. But we found performing that the kids wanted to get up on stage, and they're so much more willing to get up, put themselves out there and try new things than adults are in a lot of instances. And also the shyest, most introverted kid will see their friends up there having fun, and after they get a little comfortable, they want to come up and join in, which to me is so great. And one of the greatest things is that it teaches them communication, interpersonal communication, which I think is so important today because everything is texting and, you know, email and messaging each other. And a lot of times for the kids, the art of conversation and looking someone in the eye isn't developed like it used to be, and this really kind of brings that out in them.
That's so true, and how wonderful that you're able to get this response from the kids. So you have now moved from Rochester to New York, and you're still doing both here, teaching improv and also doing the stand-up thing. So if folks were going to look for you at open mic nights and everything, you go by the name...
Oh, yes. Well, as you know, Julie D'Onofrio, our last name is not always the most easy to pronounce or spell. So to make it easier for everybody, I now go by Julie D, D-E-E, when I'm performing, and that's also my Facebook page name. So if someone's looking for me as a performer, that's where they can find me.
That's fantastic. And please do check her out. She's funny. She doesn't just have a great name. She's funny. But I was told that there's sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say a battle, but especially in New York, you're either a comedian or you do improv. So have you encountered any of that?
I think that has kind of softened a bit, but you're right. There's two schools of thought. One is that, and they are, they're completely different art forms. Of course, they are similar in that you're doing a live comedy performance, but I have actually been to an open mic night where a comedian came up on stage and said, here's kind of the bottom line to summarize what the feeling is. She said, I was doing so well with my stand-up, but now everything's going well. I have a good job. I have a nice boyfriend. I'm happy. Happy people can't do stand-up. Now I have to do improv. And I feel like it's true because... As a comedian, when something doesn't go my way, or worse, becomes a horrible disaster, instead of kind of dwelling on it, I do kind of give myself a few minutes to be like, ugh, just bummed about it. And then I say, okay, well, now I have some great new material. Because some of our best material really does come from our mishaps and our, you know, things that didn't quite go our way. And you're right, improv has that positive yes and reinforcement. You're not allowed to say no. You're not supposed to negate what someone else is doing. So in that respect, there is kind of a, you know, almost a divide between the comedy, stand-up comedy, and improv worlds.
And within yourself, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I do know. So I do. There's not a lot of us, honestly, even here in New York, but there are people that do both stand-up and improv.
And how do you sit down and write a set? Like, how do you... That must be such an interesting process.
I don't have as organized of a process as a lot of comedians do. For me, a lot of it is kind of my life experience. And again, when something happens, sometimes honestly, they write themselves. You know, I think of material sometimes just in my daily life, and a lot of it is observational, putting things together that happen that can kind of combine into one topic. But it's a process, and it really takes me years to get some of my bits developed, and some just sort of come to me.
Now, to folks who've thought about, you know, maybe taking a class or just how would you sell it to someone that, no, I don't, you don't need to do this as a living, but that it really could help break people out of their comfort zone. It could help develop communication skills. Like, what would be your advice to someone, or even something that they could just take away from today to implement in their own lives without taking a class?
I think there are a lot of people out there that kind of have this desire but are sort of afraid. And I'm just here to tell you there's nothing to be afraid of. If you want to try stand-up, look, there's open mics. There's a great website, Bad Slava, which I actually know. I've known the man since he was just plain old Slava. But he has this great website where you can find open mics in literally any city in the world.
Really?
And a lot of them you can just... Actually, we love audience members to show up at open mic and just observe. So I would suggest to anyone who's even thinking about trying stand-up, go to an open mic and watch. Because a lot of the time you're going to find that you have this idea like, oh, everyone there is going to be so hilarious and know what they're doing. And you'll see that's not the case. It's really practicing. And I feel like if you go to one or two and see what happens and write a little bit of material, you'll get up there yourself if that's what you really would like to do. And as far as improv, for me, there is a little bit, it's a little less frightening because you're never on stage by yourself. You don't have to write your material. And if a bit doesn't go quite as well as you had hoped, it's over, and then you go on to the next game. Whereas stand-up, you're kind of terrified up there by yourself for however amount of time. So there, you know, it can be scary, but this is what I tell my students. If you want to do something, you should always go for it. You should always go for it, even if your chances are one in a gazillion, because if you don't, your chances are zero in a gazillion. So they do. I get students, I had one email me last week that he's very excited now. He's in college and he's taking improv classes, and he got himself a job as the one of the DJs on their radio show.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just as a teacher, as an educator, and as a comedian, it just makes your day to get an email like that from a former student.
Absolutely, because whether you're 10 years old or 30 or 50, you know, it can be frightening to get up in front of a room of people and do public speaking, to have to give that big presentation in front of the boss. And, you know, just listening to you now, go in front of an open mic. It's a room full of strangers. Get all the jitters out, and then you're that much more prepared.
Yeah, and in fact, my improv students, I do have them individually go up, and we do something called improvisational speaking, where they don't have the pressure of memorizing or of having to watch their notes. They really are just getting there, developing public speaking skills. And you were just saying how important that is, because we have to do that in our daily life. We have to give a presentation. Sometimes you have to go into an interview and it's a group interview. How many of us have to give a speech in school in front of the class, or present, you know, do a presentation in front of a class? So unfortunately, even though 98% of the population is terrified of public speaking, most of us do have to do it sooner or later. And this is just kind of a fun, no pressure way to develop those skills.
And I love what you said about, you know, you have zero chance.
That's right.
if you actually don't go out and try. You do this wonderful thing on Facebook once a month on the 19th. And what is the 19th of every month?
For me, the 19th of every month is someday. And what I do is all of the things that I keep saying I'm going to do someday, I have it on my calendar now that the 19th, I have it circled, and it says someday. So I've been doing kind of more things, books I haven't read that I've always wanted to read, a movie I'd like to see that I've never seen, restaurants that I walk by on my way to work that I think, oh, wouldn't it be great to try that? But I've also done big things like start a kids open mic. One time I cut a foot of my very long hair off and donated it to Locks for Love on the 19th. I do, you know, just things that you... planning vacations, sending a resume to people in New York because I wanted to move back to New York. It's just sort of a motivational thing, and that is one of the two books actually that I am working on right now to hopefully self-publish sometime by the end of the year.
Well, I can't wait to read it because it is a reminder every month that you put it on Facebook. He said, "What are you going to do today? It's someday." And when I first saw you doing that, I laughed, but I said, she's right. I bet 90% of us, if not 99%, have always said, well, I'll get to that someday.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, like you said, it's trying a new restaurant or, you know, doing your taxes, I'll get to it someday soon.
I don't recommend that. I don't recommend the taxes because
yeah,
I think those are due on
the
15th.
Yeah. But, you know, you're like, it's that procrastination, which I am definitely guilty of.
I don't know anyone who's not guilty of that in some way, shape, or form. But I do. I say, on the 19th, I'll post it. What are you going to do someday? And I get a lot of comments, a lot of responses. There's a few of my friends and relatives that are also kind of coming along and doing the same thing. So it's really, I find it just, I get things done. And without that, it's a deadline, you know, as a journalist.
Yeah.
If you have a deadline, you're going to get it done. Whereas if you don't, you know, it could get procrastinated indefinitely.
And often we do put ourselves last. So, like,
mm-hmm,
I'll get that deadline done for work,
mm-hmm,
but taking care of something for myself, cleaning out the office, that's just going to keep getting pushed way off into
right.
the future. So, yeah, it's a chance to put yourself first and
yeah.
take care of the things that should be important to you, but sort of get lost in the day
and
day.
And as you were saying, when you first saw it, it did start as a joke. I was in my office. We were talking about how in August there's no holiday. And we were thinking, we need a holiday. We need some time off. We don't have anything between 4th of July and Labor Day. So we were thinking we should make up our own holiday. And I said, I know, we'll call it someday. And you can just take the whole day off and do whatever it is you said you were going to do someday. And I started thinking, well, this started as a joke, but what if there was a real someday? And once a year is not nearly enough. So I decided, let's do one every month.
Well, I love it. I love
Thank
it.
You.
Fully support and hope you do continue writing the book, because I think it's a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
It does make me stop and think.
My brother says I created my own Hallmark holiday. Hallmark has not confirmed that yet at this point. But
if you're listening.
Yeah, hello, Hallmark, in case anyone is out there.
Her name is Julie Donofrio.
And I can also be reached if you accidentally contact the other Julie Donofrio.
Absolutely.
Like I did. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Oh, thank you for coming on. It's just been so much fun chatting with you, and I look forward to seeing what you accomplish.
And I look forward to seeing the same from you. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's it for this edition of Tapped. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at TappedPod.